Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are at a turning point in the Gospel. From now on, Jesus is facing Jerusalem, and he's teaching his disciples about his passion and about what is going to happen. So we have finally got to that place at that summit, and now we're kind of on the downside of the mountain, as Jesus begins to teach deeper about what it means to be the disciple, to be a disciple of the true Messiah. Last week, we remembered Jesus said, "And who do you say I am?" He asked Peter this. It was for the whole congregation, all the disciples, and all of us. And Peter said, "Lord, you are the Son of God." And they rejoiced. And today, Jesus begins to explain to Peter and to his disciples what it means to be the Messiah. And he says, the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, must suffer pain and death at the hands of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes. This is not the Jewish understanding of the Messiah. And we got to remember that the disciples and Jesus are Jews. This is not the concept. The concept of the Messiah is that God is going to send his Messiah to Jerusalem, to Zion, and become the world leader. And people will come to Jerusalem and bow down and worship the living God, the real God. And all people will be changed because they will be in relationship with the living God. And they will be the political might of the world. Basically, this is a concept. Jesus is saying, the Son of Man, the Messiah, must be in pain, must suffer, and must be killed. And Peter says, God forbid it. God forbid it. Don't let this be the image. Because we know you're supposed to be the political leader. And people are going to come and worship you. And Jesus says to Peter, Satan, get behind me. Now, is he calling Peter Satan? No. Is he calling Peter's actions and words evil? Yes, because they are. Peter doesn't understand, and Jesus is being very serious about what he says. Peter, you cannot be a stumbling block. We remember way back when Jesus was baptized, he was in the desert for those 40 days. And the last thing that we remember from that gospel is that the devil waited for an opportune time to reveal itself again. And then this was the first opportune time, and it's revealed through one of Jesus' closest friends, that sense of being a stumbling block. But Jesus understands what it is and calls it what it is. And basically, do not deny, Jesus saying to Peter, the Messiah. Do not deny what God has made me to be. Peter, like us, is thinking, if pain and suffering and abuse and death can happen to you, guess what? Guess what? It can happen to us. Peter said, I don't want to go through pain. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die. So forbid it from me happening to you, Lord. Because if it happened to you, it means I must follow in your footsteps, and it can happen to me. Peter is being selfish. His eyes are on the human side, the side of wealth and prosperity, of health and happiness, and not wanting to hear what Jesus must go through selfishly, because it means that he and we will have to go through the same thing as well, if we truly are a follower of Christ. But through the crucifixion comes the resurrection. Through the crucifixion came the resurrection. And through the resurrection came new life, came love, came grace, came forgiveness. God forgives us. Jesus overcame the power of sin and forgave us. He destroyed sin and he gave us new life in him. So we don't have to live in fear of death and dying because Jesus has already done that for us and has secured for us the kingdom of God. And so now we can live in love of others and love of ourselves and forgiveness of others and forgiveness of ourselves and live in the grace of God and give that grace of God to others. This is what Jesus did through crucifixion. Don't stop at the crucifixion. Don't stop there. Go to the resurrection. So often, I think we forget that the crucifixion equals the resurrection and equal grace and forgiveness and new life in the destruction of sin. Let's bring this a little closer to home. When are we a stumbling block to others? When does that evil live through us? When we deny someone the gift of God's grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that goes back to my childhood that had a great impact on me growing up not too far from San Francisco during the time that the AIDS epidemic happened. There were preachers and ministers that almost delighted that God was going to send his wrath upon San Francisco, like Sodom and Gomorrah, and destroy it, send it into the ocean, and wipe out a whole race of people. Now, there were many young people that were suffering and that were dying and that were lonely and needed a loving God to believe that God was going to care for them. And what they heard was that God hated them and that there was no room in the kingdom for them. They did not understand the Messiah, the love of God, the forgiveness, or what the cross and the resurrection really meant, that God loved and God forgives. At the end of this gospel, Jesus says, I will come back with my angels and I will judge all evil and they will be judged. But you know what God says to us? You are to love. Love your neighbor. Accept your neighbor. Forgive your neighbor. Respect them. That's what you are to do. The baptismal covenant is that we are to respect the dignity of every human being and see the Christ in them and to love them and to serve them. Nowhere in Scripture does our Lord Jesus Christ ever say to us, you are to reject or to hate or to judge. Scripture is very solid about this, that Jesus alone shall judge. And Scripture is just as solid to say that we are to love and to care. As we hear today in the epistle, which I think is one of the most, I keep saying this, I love Romans, I guess, because I guess one of the most powerful epistles to tell us how to live in the Christian community. Each one of us individually makes up the Christian community. And we need to hear this. Paul says that we need to live in love with no pretense. No pretense. Love. Period. Love is it. That we are to have mutual affection. Mutual affection for somebody. To respect them and to show that respect. We are to show honor to one another. We are to be honorable and respected. I don't care how little the person is, how old the person is, what they look like. There is no stipulation to show honor, love without pretense, and to respect one another, and to be actively involved in the cares of others. here in your neighborhood, in our house, on the playground, in the boardroom, in the vestry room, in the church office. We are to be actively concerned with others. And we are to show hospitality to a stranger. Somebody that we don't know. We are to be hospitable to and to love them and to respect them like we would our own brother or sister, because they are our own brother or sister. Paul goes on to say, Bless your persecutors. Those that hurt you, bless them. Those that have caused you pain. And I have found out from my own personal experience that it's usually the ones that I trusted and loved the most that somehow drifted apart, that have caused me the most pain. It's easy to love those on the other side of the world. Well, I don't know their face. I don't even know their personality. I don't even really know who they are. So it's easy for me to just say, I can love them because I have no relationship with them. But Jesus is bringing this more intimately, saying those that have hurt you on the playground, those that have hurt you in your home, those that have hurt you in your neighborhood, those that have hurt you in your church, those are the ones that Jesus says, love those who persecute you and treat them with respect. Never curse them. Love your enemies. Paul goes on to say, rejoice with others when they rejoice. And he's not just talking about somebody's birthday party and rejoicing with somebody, but he's saying that person that has hurt you, that person that has caused you pain and made you sleep at night, when they celebrate, celebrate with them. Don't say, I don't like it when they celebrate. I want them to feel pain. Jesus is saying, celebrate with that person when they celebrate. Rejoice with them. And when they're sad, be sorrowful for them. Don't delight that they're being hurt, but be sad and weep and cry for them. It's hard, but that's what it is to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian. And if you think it is, then we have a long journey ahead of us, because we need to weep for those who hurt. And he goes on to say, and we can think of this as individuals, we can think of this as a community of the church, we can think of this as citizens in the United States. When your enemy, you can either have a face of a person or an idea of a country. When your enemy is hungry, feed them. When your enemy is hungry, feed them. And that's why I want St. Matthew's to be known as a congregation that feeds the hungry, not just our friends, but those who we do not even know, the stranger amongst us. One of the best things a priest gets to do is blessings. And every Sunday, every service, every Eucharist, I get to send you out as a priest with a blessing. And as you read, back up, as you hear the blessing that I give to you, hear today's epistle. Don't render evil for evil. Be at peace with one another. Care for the vulnerable. Welcome, support the faint-hearted. Care for the vulnerable. Be at peace with one another. These words are not my words. These come from Scripture. And I send you out every time we meet with this blessing, because this is our baptismal blessing. This is what it means to be a Christian community, to be at peace with one another, to not judge. and to always remember who Jesus Christ is as Messiah. Don't make Jesus into your own image. Listen to the image of who Jesus is, and that is the image of love. Amen.